Anyone?
Don't recognize any this morning, I don't think.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Please see your bulletin for ongoing announcements, things that are going on. I don't know if we have any special announcements this morning that you need to make. Or anyone, is there anyone? Yes, Susan. Did anyone else have any announcements that they would like to make? Okay. We're doing, we have a meet, and you'll just come on up. Okay. Please make sure that you get registered. See the books that are passed out, and if you are the first to register for this service, go ahead and write the date and the time on the registration form. At this time, I would like to just open to give anyone opportunities to add prayer requests or praise requests. At this time, does anyone have any prayer requests? Yes, Andrea. Oh, yeah. Thank you. Mike Martin. Oh, hi, Mike. Yes. Good morning.
Would you please pray for a friend of mine at work? Her husband, whom I don't know, his name is Bobby Hunter. Bobby has lung cancer. Bobby, I don't know how old he is. I'm going to say somewhere around he's already gone through one round of chemo. He has quit smoking. He came through the first round of chemo. Okay. But please pray for the
yes, no.
Becky Leonard is still in Russia, and Bob said that from a doctor this week she had on inside, she had on cancer clothes she took with her because it's so cold.
So cold.
And there are people dying.
Breathing.
The people.
Are y'all going alone? Who's driving? I'm a little sorry. Sam. Hi, how are you? Sam's shrinking while you're growing. We're so glad to have y'all. Thanks for coming. Tracy and Sam, Sam's father made it back safely yesterday, so praises for God's traveling mercies. They had a great trip, and we're going to add Wendy Skinner to the prayer list, and she's the young lady that came to speak here a few months ago and who is trying to build that medical center that's associated with an orphanage there in Guatemala where Tracy and Sam spent the week laying block to get that medical center. And you know, Wendy, and if you don't know, she does have multiple brain tumors, and so she needs your prayers. She's serving as a full-time missionary with her 12-year-old daughter who packed up her life and moved to Guatemala to serve, so keep her in your prayers.
And I got to tell you this, her tumors are shrieking and the doctors don't know why.
Lots of prayer,
but we do. I need to add Billy Noe, N-O-E, to your list. He had a sinus infection that got up into his brain. They had to do brain surgery, but he's doing well. He woke up cognizant, and that was The doctor said he performed 20 of these surgeries and nobody else has ever survived. So pray for the Billy Den and Susan Noe.
George Bohannon, the family of Patrick Reynolds, family of Mrs. Clanton. And that's all I got at the 8 o'clock service was Ms. Clanton. And then I had family of the miners lost this weekend. I'm assuming that's the miner children,
no,
teenagers.
The miners. There were two miners that died in an accident.
That was their name. Or they were miners.
They were miners,
okay,
professionally.
Okay. Oh, miners.
Two more miners.
I'm sorry. Okay.
Two.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
It doesn't register something.
Human.
I'm sorry.
No. They're the miners, and they actually had hope for those people in the beginning and thought the situation was a little different than the previous. And as it turned out, they did not survive, but they were able to get them out. Go ahead, Mary Jo. Tony Tucker. At Rock Glade, Rocky Glade Church.
Brady's out doing good, though, but yeah, remembering Clarence Sheffield. John Moore is improving, but didn't have a real good day yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
You put the family of Agnes Crowder, that's my aunt, she passed away on Thursday.
If you do think of something that you weren't able to just voice at this time, you can always just write it down on an index card and drop it in the offering plate, and we will definitely get that added to the prayer list. We're going to pause for a moment while the candles are being lit, and I just wanted to ask Gary. Oh, stop.
Have to do business of the church, and it has to be done in a congregational meeting. And we had an elder to resign. And last Sunday we went through the process of nominating and gave you opportunity to make additional nominations. So basically, this is just going through the motions today. But we need to do it. Let us pray. Lord God, as we do the business of your church, we call them sometimes the housekeeping duties. We pray for your lordship and your leadership in Christ's name. Amen. Steve, will you state the reason, Steve being the session clerk?
As Larry said, last Sunday we nominated Terry Wendell to replace Richard Sullivan, who resigned. And we had a for 11-month session beginning in December of this year. She's been nominated and everything. All I need is a motion to elect her by acclamation.
I make a motion that nomination season to elect Sherry Winthrop.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. That was Steve. I think we have to vote one more time. All in favor of Sherry Winthrop, let it be known by saying aye.
Well, yes. No.
Okay.
We're done.
Okay. All right. Is everybody satisfied with that? Okay. Thank you.
Gary, surprise. We have the ritual of the lighting of the candles. We do that, and we have a lot of rituals that we do, and we've talked about that recently, and the reason that we do them, and like saying our Apostles' Creed and saying our Lord's Prayer, and just to remind everyone of the reverence of those things. This has been on my heart. Don't just recite them. Don't just say them mechanically, but absorb what those words are, because those are our statements of faith. It's what we really believe as Christians. So try to remember to hold those things in reverence and not just be in a reciteful mode, and because they will lose their meaning for us if we don't remember to do that. And I, as a teenager, never really thought much about that, and I really want to challenge especially the younger people in the church to just to look at those words and break them down. And you know what? If you don't exactly understand something, ask. It was just this past year that I asked Larry in the Apostles' Creed. I didn't understand about Jesus descending into Hades, and he explained that to me, and I didn't understand that as a 40-year-old woman. So don't ever be afraid to ask, and so it's better to understand it. And the lighting of the candles, if I could just get Gary to just give a quick explanation of why do we light the candles and put the candles out at the beginning and the end of the service. You do.
I'll mention Brother Aaron. Brother Aaron, of course, Jesus in heaven. But one of the things he would say at this church, hand up and welcome Jesus here. We don't believe Jesus standing outside like the church lady said, not in asking to come in. And lighting the candles, bringing the light of Jesus into the church.
Thank you. Thank you. I was kind of clueless on that one, too. So I appreciated it when I heard Gary say that recently. Let's pause for a moment of silent prayer in preparation for our worship of Jesus Christ. Our Lord God, you are always more ready to bestow your good gifts upon us than we are to seek them. You are more willing to give than we desire or deserve. Help us to seek that we may truly find, to ask that we may joyfully receive, to knock at the door of your mercy may be opened for us through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name.
For God alone my soul waits in silence, for my hope is from God. God only is my rock and my salvation. I shall not be shaken. Trust in God at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before God. Our trust is in God. We worship God's name.
Let's all stand, turning our hymnals to hymn 508. I will sing that wondrous story. 508.
I will sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Now He left His home in glory for the cross of Calvary. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints in glory, gathered by the crystal sea. I was lost, but Jesus found me, found the sheep that went astray. Through His loving arms around me too, into His way. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints in glory, gathered by the crystal sea. Days of darkness still come o'er me, sorrow's path I often tread, but the Savior still is with me, by His hand I'm safely led. Yes, I sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me, singing with the saints in glory, gathered by the crystal sea. He will keep me till the river this waters at my feet. Then He'll bear me safely over where the loved ones I shall meet. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me, singing with the saints in glory, gathered by the crystal sea.
Bow with me as we pray. Lord God, the story of Jesus. Thank You for it. Thank You, Lord, that someone came and shared that with us. But thank You more especially that You caused the event to happen. That You looked down and cared enough for Your creation, a wayward people, that You would send Your Son to die for us. And that He was willing. And that He did. And Lord, we just praise Your name, thanking You and glorifying You. Lord, giving of ourselves to You, Lord. Glad to be in Your presence. Glad, Lord, that we have heard the story and where You gave us the faith to believe. And we could commit our lives to You. Lord, we thank You for this time that we can come apart from the world and be in Your presence and worship You. And Lord, may it be in truth and in spirit. Clear from our minds the cares of the world for these moments, that You might prepare us, Lord, to go back into the world and be great witnesses. Lord, we want You to speak to us. We want to speak our needs before You. We come seeking and asking and knocking. But Lord, we know that You are more concerned with reaching us than we are with reaching to You. Help us to open ourselves to You, Lord, and receive You. Know Your presence. Lord, we just offer this prayer in the name of Jesus, and now we come praying that beautiful prayer that He taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And you may be seated.
We express our faith in God through our statement of faith, and that's our Apostles' Creed. Please join me. You can follow along on page 716 in your hymnal or on the screen above. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From then He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and a life everlasting. Amen.
Holy. glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world.
As Christians, we are called by God to confess our sins. Our call to confession today comes from the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 38. Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins." And in doing so, in unison, please join me. God of compassion and mercy, hear us as we make our confession. Christ preaches repentance. We do not heed his call. Your new day is proclaimed. We dwell in the past. We turn not from our evil ways, nor do we sacrifice those treasures that cleanse us. By grace, renew us and cleanse us of sin. Amen. And our assurance of God's forgiveness comes from also the book of Acts, chapter 13, verse 38. "Therefore, my brothers, I want you to know that through Jesus the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you."
Turn in your hymnals now, if you will, please. Hymn 394. To hymn 535. We are learning, and it is a familiar hymn with different words. So we need to concentrate on the words today. Play just a little bit, Nolan. First verse only.
Oh, give us home built firm upon the Savior, where Christ is head and counsel, Lord and guide, where every child is taught his love and and gives his heart to Christ the crucified. How sweet to know that though his footsteps waver, his faithful Lord
amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see so clearly. Hallelujah, grace like rain falls down on me. Hallelujah, all my stains washed away, all washed away. What grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Hallelujah, grace like rain falls down on me. Hallelujah, all my stains washed away, all washed away. We've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun. We've no less faith to sing your praise than when we first begun. Like rain falls down on me. Hallelujah, all my stains washed away, are washed away. Hallelujah, grace like rain falls down on me. Hallelujah, all my stains washed away, washed away.
Time, if all the children could come forward and meet Andrea up here on the steps. I'm sure she has something wonderful to share with y'all this week.
Psalms 110, verse 1 and 2 from the Living Bible. But I thought about this. You know what? We do need to spend our time with God each and every day. And there's a poem on the back that says, "The Secret." And this is the secret that this person says that they have learned. You know, we have a lot of secrets from this. I know something that nobody else knows. It says, "I met God in the morning when the day was at its best. And his presence came like sunrise, like a glory in my chest. All day long the presence lingered. All day long he stayed with me. And he sailed in perfect calmness over many troubled seas. Others were blown and battered. Others were more distressed. But the winds that seemed to drive them brought to us a peace and rest. Then I thought of other mornings with a keen remorse of mind, when I too had loosed the mooring with his presence left behind. So I think I know the secret. Learn from many a troubled way. You must see God in the morning if you want to be with you throughout the day." That was a great poem and a great thing for us to remember, that in the morning, just as we get up, it doesn't have to be a big prayer, it doesn't have to be an elaborate thing, just a conversation with our Lord. "Dear Lord, go with me to ideal every day. Go with me, please go with me." One of my favorite hymns is, and I'm trying to remember how it goes exactly, but "I go to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses." I'm a morning person, and you know, I'm as long as I am. I'm a morning person. I love it when I get up and nobody else is up. I get outside, rain, like this morning, it's raining like cats and dogs, you know, there's even a commercial on, you mean that? But now it does that rainy cats and dogs, but it was really raining hard. But you know what? That's a special time for me because nothing else is stirring except me and the animals. And I hope my Lord and Savior, and here he is. God is with us. Let's make sure we ask him to be with us each and every day. Like Gary said about lighting the candles and inviting Jesus in. Let's invite Jesus into our hearts. And every morning before our feet ever hit the floor. Can we do that? It's real simple. "Dear Lord, come into my heart. Keep us to get ready to face the day that Jesus always."
Our offertory sentence today comes from Psalm 116, verses 12 through 14. "What shall I return to the Lord for all his bounty to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Will our ushers please come forward?
God, from whom all blessings flow, praise Him, all creatures here below, praise Him above the heavenly host, praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
You're turning in your hymnals to hymn 422. Let's sing the first and last stanzas. There will be a call to serve for you, each and every individual who would feel called by God to go on a mission trip. I will be returning to Guatemala on February the 28th for a week and April the 15th for a week. If you feel led to go, ask me. I'm going. 422, first and last.
There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. None else could heal all our souls' diseases. No, not one. No, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. Was there a gift like the Savior given? No, not one. No, not one. Will He refuse
us a home in heaven. No, not one, no, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one, no, not one.
We hear God's words in His scriptures, and today's scripture lesson comes from the book of Jonah. Very small book. It has a lot to say, doesn't it? Chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now Nineveh was a very important city. A visit required 3 days. On the first day Jonah started into the city, he proclaimed, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overturned. The Ninevites believed God. They declared a fast, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on a sackcloth. And from verse 10, when God saw what they did and how they had turned from their evil ways, He had compassion and did not bring upon them the destruction that He had threatened. The word of God for the people of God.
Praise
be to God.
Jonah. What do you know about Jonah? Something about a call from God. Maybe in a more appropriate title this morning would have been Answering the Call. We started out with heeding the call. That didn't sound right, so I looked up the word heeding and it wasn't right. That's kind of acknowledging it, that there is a call. I wanted us to go further than that this morning. I wanted us to consider answering the call, or responding to the call. Now, what do you know about Jonah and his experience? It's my guess that most of us know the big fish story. Probably know how Jonah was such a big fisherman that he caught the biggest one that was ever caught. Is that right? Is that the way it goes? Well, a big one caught him, right? A giant fish swallowed Jonah. And after 3 days, it vomited him up on the beach. That's not a very good fish story, is it? If he lived for 3 days in all of those acids, stomach acids, read a little story about Jonah and the whale and the fish. If it was a whale, we all think it's a whale, right? Because that's the biggest fish we know anything about. There's a news article this week about a whale over in England, was it not? But here's this little story. A little boy was in his third grade class, and the teacher was going to teach on marine biology, and she was teaching about a whale one day. And this little third grader raised his hand and said, I know all about a whale. Said, the prophet Jonah was swallowed by a whale. The teacher looks at the little boy and says that she doesn't believe that story for 1 minute. But the third grader insists. He says, it's true. Jonah was swallowed by a whale and he lived to tell about it. And the teacher says, no, that story about Jonah and the whale is just that. It's only a story. And besides, she said,
You cannot prove that it happened, that it really happened, because Jonah lived so long ago. The little boy responded. He was a pretty sharp little boy, so it seems. Maybe the teacher thought he was a smart aleck, but nevertheless, he responded, "Well, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask Jonah if he was swallowed by a whale." And the teacher, she's pretty sharp too, so she retorts, "Jimmy, what if Jonah didn't go to heaven?" And Jimmy responded, "Well, then you can ask him." But I don't believe that the whale story is the main point of this book. Not hardly. That may be one of those rabbit trails that I often have been accused of going down. And if it is, that could say that my preaching is biblical. If Jonah went down a rabbit trail. No. Someone has said that the main point is that God loves all people and He forgives them when they turn to Him. And I won't argue with that. That's probably the main point. One of the main points anyway. We see that point or that thought expressed in Jonah's prayer to God after his experience. Chapter 4, verse 2, Jonah says, "I knew that you are a gracious God and that you are merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness." And he knew that if they turned to him, the people of Nineveh turned to him, that God would forgive them. But there's another message that I want us to talk about this morning, is the call of God. And us responding to that call. Now, Sam has kind of put out a call already for an out-of-town journey. Maybe a good vacation. But if you look at Tracy's fingers, you'll think it might not have been a vacation. The point I want to emphasize is God calling Jonah, how Jonah responded, and the effect that Jonah responding to the call had on an entire city. Probably one of the largest cities of the then known world at that time, the city of Nineveh. Our lesson begins when God called Jonah for a second time. This wasn't the first calling. Now, before we examine the second call, I want to invite you with me to look at the first call. You have your little outline before you, and it's all kind of taken from the Bible. Looking back at this first call, if you want to write some things in, there's a few real small lines. It's a little hard to write in there, I know. But the book opens with God calling Jonah the first time, or the first time that it's recorded. And he speaks to him, and he tells him to go to the city of Nineveh and proclaim against it, or go and preach to it, because they were a wicked people. Jonah did not like Assyrians. And Nineveh was the city, the capital city of Assyria. And Jonah did not want to go and preach to these sorry, mean people. Years earlier, and I didn't go and figure up how many, but you can probably figure it up if you go and do just a little bit of research. The Assyrians had all but wiped out the northern portion of Israel. Yes, Israel had a northern portion and a southern portion, and that came about when Solomon's son became king, And he was really tough on the people. And they went and asked him to be easy on them, and he gave a stupid answer. He said, "My father put his little finger on you, but I'm going to bear down with my thumb. I'm going to be extremely tough. Things are going to get hard. You're going to pay more taxes. We're going to build a greater nation here." And so the people in the two southern provinces, if you will, the southern tribes of Israel rebelled. And Israel was divided between the north and the south. Two tribes and 10 tribes out of 12. 12 after the 12 sons of Jacob. But Levi didn't have a land, but two of Jacob, Joseph's sons inhabited the land, and the land was named after Joseph's sons. Okay? The Assyrians were a warring people. And I think it's 735, I believe it was, B.C. The Assyrians came and basically wiped out the 10 northern tribes. They were called Israel. The southern tribes then were called Judah. Wiped out Israel. They did. They would take the people that they had captured or overthrown and transport them to another land, and transport other people into this land, the land that God had given to the Israelites in when he gave the land to Abraham. That happened generations before, but Jonah had heard the story, and he just didn't like the Assyrians. He didn't want to go and preach to the people at Nineveh. It says they were wicked. They were wicked. And one preacher has said that they were wicked. They were ruthless. Hayden Robinson says of them that if you combine Nazi Germany, Iraq, and Iran, you kind of get the feel of what the Assyrians were like. Maybe at that time, we would think they were the meanest people on earth. They were arrogant. They were cruel. They were great warriors. They were mean. And they were conquerors who were conquering. And here God is sending a little Jewish boy to preach to them. Man, a prophet, one of his prophets. Well, Jonah didn't want to go, and Jonah said, "I ain't going." That's plain English. And he went the other way. So he goes down to Joppa and boards a ship and sails for Tarshish. But as the ship sailed, a storm arose. No, a storm didn't arise. God sent a storm. God sent it. Chapter 1, verse 4, the Lord sent out a great wind upon the sea. And the ship was about to be broken up. It was not able to withstand the storm. It was about to be broken up. The sailors were afraid, and somebody went down below and found that Jonah was asleep. They wake him up and said, "Why are you sleeping here, fella?" And then they got up all up on deck, and they tried to determine who was causing this great storm. What sin, what reason did God have to send this storm upon them? And they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. And Jonah confessed that he was the reason. And he volunteered, "If you cast me overboard, the wind will cease, and you can go to your destination." He volunteered. They accepted his offer. They cast him over into the raging sea. And the sea ceased from its raging. Now there's one good point right here, another rabbit trail, one good point about Jonah running the opposite direction. These sailors, it says, worshipped the Lord. These sailors worshipped the Lord. So the good point about him running away, he witnessed to people not even intending to, trying to run from the Lord. But that's not the main point of the story either. And then here is where the fish story enters, as he was thrown overboard into the raging sea, and the Lord prepared and appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was swallowed up by the fish, and in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights. And we assume, since it's such a big fish, that it was a whale. The Bible never really says this. But while he was in there, it didn't kill him, and how that happened we still don't know, but we have modern day stories that said people got swallowed by a big fish and survived. Jonah prayed from the belly of the fish, and the Lord spoke to the fish, and it, this bad word, it vomited him out upon the dry land, upon the beach. Someone suggested that he was had such a personality and was so angry at God for wanting him to go to the Ninevites, and he had such a bad attitude about the preaching to a people he didn't like, that he gave the fish some indigestion of sorts, and he that reason he spit him out. But it's, the Bible says that the Lord spoke to the fish, and the fish vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. And at that point, God gave Jonah a second chance. Have you ever had a second chance at anything? You ever had a second chance with a girlfriend, a boyfriend? You ever had a second chance with your wife or your husband? You ever had a second chance with the Lord? God gave Jonah a second chance to do the same thing that he asked him to do the first time. God sends Jonah to the city of Nineveh, a large city. And after this ordeal with the storm on the sea and that ordeal in the stomach of the fish, Jonah was ready to obey. Not willing to, but knew that he had no choice. He still did not want to go and preach to these people in that city. You may remember that last week I mentioned hearing many testimonies in my early days about preachers being called to preach, or preachers who felt that God was calling them to preach and they did not want to be preachers. And they felt that God, they were convinced that God wanted them anyway, and they would surrender to his urging and his calling. Now, I see this being Jonah's predicament. He didn't mind being a prophet. He wanted to choose where he was going to be a prophet. And he didn't want to preach, be a prophet to the Ninevites, the people of Assyria. But though he didn't want to do that, God wanted him there, and he was willing to go and do it. He couldn't help himself. God had a job for Jonah to do, and God intended for Jonah to do the job. He equipped him for it. He equipped him quite well, as you see the end of the story. You might compare the hesitancy of Jonah to the readiness of Andrew, Peter, James, and John. In your scripture lesson, or in your outline, there is a passage indicated from Mark chapter 1. If you go read that, that's about Jesus walking by and finding Peter, Andrew, James, and John fishing, or working as fishermen, and calling them to go with them. They laid down their nets readily and went after him, went with him. They had some adjustments to make along the way, but the day of Pentecost, they were willing to go and preach wherever. Silver and gold have I none, but what we have we'll give to you. They were told not to preach by the authorities. They said, we cannot help but preach. They were willing and ready to go. But Jonah wasn't so willing, but he was going to anyway. It was against what he wanted to do, but God had a job for him. And we see the results of him going, even though it was something he did not want to do. We see the results of Jonah obeying God's call, or God's orders, if you will. Go and preach to the Ninevites. That's not just a call. That seems to me like some orders. Go and preach to the Ninevites. What happened? He preached, and the people repented, and they were spared. Someone pointed out, as you read it, you can kind of pick it up. You have to be kind of a better student of the Bible than I was, than I am to find this. Said he was told to go, and it was a 3 days journey into the city, and he only went a 1 day's journey into the city and preached, and the whole city got saved. So he only had to do a third of what he was sent to do. But if all of them were saved, he didn't need to preach anymore, did he? All of them turned to the Lord. So the Lord blessed his efforts when he was willing to surrender his will to God's will. Verse 5, the Ninevites believed God. The sailors had believed God. The Ninevites believed God. They declared a fast, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. That's put on rough clothes. And they didn't say it, but ashes are often associated with sackcloth, and they would put on sackcloth as a admission of sinfulness and penance before God. And sometimes people would rub themselves in ashes. And then verse 10 says, when God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he had compassion and did not bring upon them the destruction that he had threatened. So because of Jonah's preaching to Nineveh, the whole city was saved from destruction by God. They could have been another Sodom and Gomorrah. But they repented at the preaching of Jonah, or in response to the preaching of Jonah, they turned to the Lord. And then verses 6 through 9 tell about the king. We skip them, but they tell all about the king issuing a decree that they'd be a godly nation. Two calls I want to throw at you this morning. I'll offer to you. Maybe throw at you is not a good choice of words. The call of God to be a witness for Him. This is for God's people. This is for the Christian. The call of God to be a witness. God needs people who are Christian, not only just to be Christian, but to work as Christians. God needs preachers. After meditating on this, I got up early this morning, and you can go find it. Go to www.cumberland.org, and then go to the Board of Missions, and somewhere in that Board of Missions section of the Cumberland Presbyterian webpage, you can find opportunity list. You know, preachers resign a lot of times on Sunday afternoon, and then they hire themselves back. They never tell anybody, and they hire themselves back on Tuesday. But Monday, we go and look at that opportunity list to see what's available. Did you know that? When I went this morning for this sermon, I'll go look at it sometime for a friend who calls and
what church is open, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, or want to know where a friend is, or what's happening. I looked this morning, as early as I think January the 6th was the last update, not too long ago, and I found 34 full-time churches. Churches that pay a livable salary and a housing allowance and probably a house, one or the other. 34 churches in a small denomination of 50,000 people that need a pastor can't find one that's acceptable. Now, there's a bunch of them out there, but, you know, in every situation, there's some that nobody wants. And rightly so. They've messed this church up or that church up. I find 5 full-time churches in Arkansas, from Fort Smith to Sherwood, Arkansas, to Fayetteville, Palestine. The guy that's filling the pulpit at Palestine, I think at the conference this week, every break he would approach somebody, would you like to move to Palestine, Arkansas? Would you like to move to Palestine, Arkansas? That's right in the middle of the Delta, close to Forest City, 40 miles out of Memphis. Would you like to move to Palestine, Arkansas? One of those churches, small 100-member church, and since 40 years it's been that. I mean, nice to their preachers. A good church to go to. Put a lot of preachers through seminary. Nobody to go. He looked and looked and looked. I think he left still. Marshall, Missouri. Colonial church in Memphis. If you want to live in Memphis. We'll skip on down. Some people don't want to live in Memphis. Central Kentucky. Wow, what a beautiful place to be. 2 churches, one at Somerville and one at Magnolia. Can't find a preacher. Fairfield, Illinois, one of our better churches. The youth leader from Tusculum Church, was from that church, was he not? The previous one, maybe the one now. I mean, a fine church. Turned out a lot of ministers. They're looking and looking. Been 6 months, I think. Oklahoma City. Dallas, Texas. Louisiana. Quitman. Cushuta. Greenville, Tennessee. Knoxville, Tennessee. My home area, my home county, 2 Cumberland Presbyterian churches without pastors. Looking. Good churches. As preachers, you know, what's a good church and what's not a good church. Some churches are mean. These are good churches. They are. Okay. Columbus, Mississippi First Church, Beersheba or Beersheba, however you want it, but they call it Beersheba down there. Great church. Brandon, Florida, if you want to move to Florida. Rogersville, Alabama, right on the Tennessee River, right in the kind of in the middle of the of North Alabama. Oh, beautiful place. Calhoun, Georgia, Hickson, Tennessee, Grace Church in Franklin, Tennessee. What better place to live and work than Middle Tennessee, Williamson County, the best schools. Lawrenceburg, Mount Pleasant, Chapel Hill, Clarksville, Mount Sharon, that's up close to Springfield, New Providence, Clarksville in the Providence area. These are 34, I believe I counted. Folks, have any of y'all felt that God might be calling you to ministry? To ministry? We need preachers. Do you hear the call? Sunday school teachers. Committee members on the back of the insert for the song that we're going to close with. There's some spots open. We can add more to the committee list right here in this church. To the choir. We need some sopranos, right? What happened to our sopranos today? One came. You can have some help. Maybe you feel the call of God to come and sing in the choir. Come to practice once a week and sing on Sunday morning. Mission team members. Sam gave that call already. A witness in the workplace. A witness in the classroom. A witness on the playground.
And that song, 535, talks about being a witness in the home. A witness in the home. We need witnesses in the home. Jonah was even mad at God for forgiving the people of Nineveh after he had preached to them. But God still used him for their salvation. We don't have to like it, but we need to do it. And then the call to the person who is estranged from God. The call to the person who has never invited Jesus into their life. The call to the unsaved person. There's many ways to describe that. If you have never invited Jesus into your life, is God calling you? Maybe God is calling you to repentance and belief, or to belief and repentance. Don't matter which one comes first, just so the message gets there. To trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and to receive Him into your life. And Jesus has promised to forgive every sin and make new persons out of us. Who will respond to God's call today? Who will answer it? The song is Follow On. Now, the first verse talks about going through the mountains and the valleys where everything is beautiful. God calls us to that. But the second verse starts talking about the tough storms of life. There may be some storms. I'm not going to lead you astray. Jonah really got into a storm, did he not? Let's stand together and sing about following Jesus. It's an insert. Follow on. Maybe you would make public your answer to God's call this morning. Follow on.
Thank you that you see fit to use human beings, imperfect humans, to be with you. Lord, enable us to hear your call, give us the courage and devotion to respond. We might be serving you, for you, Jesus.
Thank you. Ha ha ha!